Hey, Money Multipliers. Welcome back to another episode of the Money Multiplier Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Kessler, and we ask ourselves, do our dollars make sense? So you can kind of tell by my voice, I've been getting over like a little head cold here. So just bear with me in this episode. I'm feeling a lot better than how I sound right now. So still sounding a little congested, a little nasally. So Daisy and I were posted up here just a little northwest of Tucson. So we've been hanging out at this campground here for, I think we got a few more nights here, and then I got to go truck back to Carlsbad, California. So I'm going to keep going west. I got my women's mastermind group coming up this next weekend. So I'm excited to see all my ladies. We're going to be doing some personal development, some business development, spiritual development. So it's just a good time. We all get together twice a year. So every 6 months, we'll all get together and just, you know, work on ourselves and come together as a community just to better ourselves so then we can better our family, our financial life, and just all other aspects of our life. So in this episode here, I have a really fun, like cool story time that I'll be going through. But before I get into the story, because we're going to kind of take it back to the medieval times and almost like the fantasy world and talking about castles and kingdoms and knights and kings and queens. But before I get into it, I kind of wanted just to share a big PSA to the community. And this PSA really came about because this past week, I mean, I'll just be honest, I've been having some hard phone calls here recently. And I think we need to bring it back to the basics of this concept, why we're doing it, and really understanding Nelson Nash's principles and his laws that he's given us in his book, Becoming Your Own Banker. If you go to his YouTube channel, the Nelson Nash Institute, they talk all about it over there. But here's just my big PSA before we get into it. Now I'm going to kind of be reading here on my screen just because I wrote down some thoughts and I don't want to leave anything out. But my first one to y'all is that, you know, stop chasing unrealistic returns and expectations. Actually, there's a saying my dad tells me. He says, Hannah, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. So you want to be a pig and get fat, and you don't want to be a hog that gets slaughtered. So stop chasing those unrealistic returns and expectation. And folks who are walking into IBC, if you have a mindset of rate of return, the message of becoming your own banker will never be seen. So the infinite banking concept is not about rates of return. And Nelson Nash even says that. I think it's on like page 3 or 4 in his book when you open it up, Becoming Your Own Banker. And it's not to be used as a sales tool for life insurance agents to sell more policies. So infinite banking practitioners, I mean, we're financial coaches, we're financial mentors, and one component of building your financial empire should include a properly structured whole life insurance policy. So the whole idea is to protect, grow, and keep the money inside of the family, and through the whole life vehicle, we're able to do it. So it's through the whole life policy is how we go and buy the investments that involve risk, where you want to place your little green men at work, your cash values, right? Your little green men are your cash values that you're pulling from the policy, and thus you're placing it and putting it to work somewhere. So y'all, stop comparing illustrations and stop shopping around for the best policy that is out there, because there's no one silver bullet that's out there for everybody. Everybody's financial life is different depending on where they are at and what money problems they are looking to solve. So if you're going out there and just comparing illustrations to illustrations and companies to companies, no, y'all need to understand, what is my my problem? And does this concept solve my money problem? And the person that I'm working with, they should be able to show me how this is going to be solving my money problems. That's why I just have a firm belief that if you're going to be walking into this concept, you should be working with an IBC practitioner, that this is all that they do day in and day out, is utilizing policies and helping folks get out of debt, recapture the money back to the family, how to go and invest the little green men. Because, right, and I've said this before on the pod, you know, the whole idea is go put those little green men to work. So now you have an army of green men out there that are working for you, so that then the army is bringing in the cash flow so that you no longer have to go out and work for it. You could be the one sitting your butt on the couch eating potato chips on a Wednesday afternoon, or going out and taking the boat out, or going out for a hike if you so please it in the middle of the day, and you're not sucked into that 9-to-5 lifestyle. So I'm just tired of folks coming to me and saying, Hannah, well, why is this illustration performed this way and this one performs this way? Y'all, we have so much content out there about the pros and cons of different policy designs. And if you don't know where to find those things, reach out to me, send me an email, and I'll direct link you to those exact videos and podcast episodes where we get into the nitty gritty weeds of the differences of why so much to the base versus the paid-up additions. Why not more base versus less paid-up additions? Why would that make sense? So send me an email, hannah@themoneymultiplier.com. Hannah spelled the same ways forwards and backwards, hannah@themoneymultiplier.com, and I'll send you those resources and those direct links. Now, here's my last PSA before we get into our fun story here. Never forget Nelson Nash's 5 rules. Okay, so here's the 5 rules, and I want you guys to write these down and maybe post them up, like in your kitchen or in your office, in your bedroom, or maybe in your bathroom. You're getting ready in the morning and you're just looking at the sticky note that's just hanging there. But these are the 5 rules that you need to follow when you're coming into this concept. 1, don't be afraid to capitalize. And yes, that means a strong foundational base premiums. Do y'all kind of remember the tortoise and the hare story? I use this a lot when I'm talking to you folks one-on-one. You know, some people will ask me, well, Hannah, what's the differences between 1090, 4060? Why would I get a 1090 and not a 4060? Or why would I go somewhere in between? Well, here's the whole point of it. Your hare is the 1090. Your tortoise is the 4060. Yeah, in the early years, you're going to be farther ahead in that 1090 policy design because it's your hare. You're getting that jump start, that boost right off of the starting point. But there comes a point in time where it gets tired, it gets worn out, it gets kind of egotistical, and thus that tortoise starts to catch up and it just never looks back. It beats that hare in the race all day long in the longevity of it. So it's the same thing in the policy world. So stop getting so sucked into the microwave mentality or that drive-through mentality, because this concept, if you are thinking that you're going to get into this stuff and then stop it after 5 years, no, I'm telling you right now, this ain't for you. This is about adding the one additional step to your financial life, and don't be afraid to keep capitalizing your banking system. I say it all day long. Everybody's so gung-ho to go make deposits down at other people's banks, but we neglect capitalizing our bank. We don't treat our money how we treat the bank's money. And why is that? Because we've never been taught the principles and the habits to follow to do so. We've all just been taught to be great worker bees, go out there, go keep making the money. We all know how to go make the money, but we suck at keeping it. And that's all I want you to do, is just keep the money that you're already making, and then through it and through the policy, because that's the whole idea. You're closing the gap. You're never losing out on the future earning rights that money is costing you and buying you. So now through the policy is where you go buy those investments at. Now, just real quick, because I'm just thinking about it. my definition of an investment is it involves risk. It can go up in value, but it can also go down and lose value. It involves some type of risk. The whole life policy doesn't have any risk. It's all guarantees. Guarantees to keep growing and growing no matter market performance, who the president is and who the president's ticking off in the world, or what the Federal Reserve System decides to do. That's the whole point of this concept, is truly to decentralize that currency and start taking back control of the banking function in your life. And we've just never been taught it. I mean, it's new. And that's why some folks just don't even want to hop on board with learning this stuff, because they just simply don't want to learn. They don't want to spend the time and the energy and resources into bettering themselves and their financial future. So again, this is why it's important that you should work with an authorized IBC practitioner who knows the ins and outs and the specialties of what the infinite banking concept really is. Because it's not about the product, it's all about the process of your banking. So here's rule number two. Kind of falls in line with rule number one. But think long range. Hopefully we're not walking through life thinking, well, in the end of it, I won't be making as much money, Hannah. I don't want to keep these premiums going forever and ever. And in my mind, just kind of where I'm at right now with my whole mental shift, just a total 180, is that if you are really walking through this life thinking, well, hey, it won't really matter what I'm doing later on in life because I just won't be making as much later on down the road. Oh my gosh, you guys are so stuck in that conventional thinking of what your financial advisors and your 401k people are telling you. I mean, just a prime example, you know, why folks put money inside of 401ks is just because it's what the masses are doing. Hey, it's what my family is doing. It's what my friends, my colleagues, my boss told me to do, and I'm maxing this thing out. And then, right, we're just kind of kicking the can down the street, paying the taxes on that money, because the tax is always going to be there. You're locking up the money till you're age 59 and a half, because before age 59 and a half, you're going to be subject to that 10% penalty. And then later on down the road, when you want to go and take the money out, now you're paying the taxes and you're paying it on the large amount, the harvest. And you know what your financial advisor tells you? They say, you know what? It's okay, Mary Smith. It's okay. You're going to be paying the taxes then, because you're just not going to be making as much money then. What do you mean? I am going through these prime hard working years of my life so that then I can create more of these passive income streams coming into me so that I will be making more and more and more as my years progress in my life. It's just total backwards thinking and just stupid, in my opinion, for lack of better words. So think long range. Just don't think in that short term mentality and mindset. Write out the goals. What are your goals in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 30 years from now? Where do you see yourself, and what do you see your life looking like at that point in time? So think long range. Never view it this as it just a short-term concept and short-term thing. We are going back to school and we're learning more and more each and every day. So think long range, number two. Number three, don't do business with the banks. Because, in my opinion, you're now contributing to the economic environment problems. You know, I do agree that there's a time and place and it's okay to leverage good debt, but make sure you know who's always in control of that transaction. Because at the end of the day, if you go and you borrow money from the bank, doesn't matter what's going on in your life at the time, you got to make sure that you're paying the banker back that monthly payment. So just understand who's in control of that transaction. And if you know how to leverage the good debt properly, then yes, it can be a great asset to you. I mean, it's just like credit cards, right? Credit cards are good debt as long as you make sure you're paying it off each and every month, because now you're getting the perks of the flying miles, the cash back, the Amazon rewards. I mean, that's what I like to do. I like to use my credit cards. And then when I rack up all of that cash, that's how I go and purchase my books for myself. So don't do business with the banks, but there's a little asterisk to that, I will say. Now, Don't steal from your bank. Don't steal the peas, is what Nelson says. So don't be afraid to pay back your loans and treat your money just how you treat the banker's money. I mean, what's the number one reason that businesses and banks fail? I mean, it's from theft. It's because people from the mostly the higher ups of the company, whether it's the owners or the managers, the top head honcho dogs over there, they are the ones taking out all of these loans or stealing the products from the business, and they're not replenishing it and putting it back in. And thus, that's why you have to go now and work even harder or sell more products just to break even, because you're stealing from your banking system and from your business. Don't do that. Don't be afraid to pay back the loans, because all you're doing when you pay back the loans is just going back inside of your policy anyways, and it's showing up as cash value again back inside of the business. So respect your capital and respect your product there. Now here's number five, rethink your thinking. I think this is the hardest one, and I think this is kind of maybe why I'm just so mentally drained and physically drained too. I mean, come on, I am just a little sick right now. But I think this is the hardest one because we always want to go back to our old habits and ways of practicing what we are conventionally taught and the wisdom that we're taught. And this is an ongoing practice. I mean, you're going to keep doing this forever and ever, and you need to practice these new habits and create a new way of life for yourself and your family. I mean, go to YouTube, go look up that video, The Backwards Bicycle, and you'll know exactly what I mean. I challenge y'all, if you have not seen that video yet, it's only 7.5 minutes long. It's called The Backwards Bicycle, and it's from a channel called Smarter Every Day. So go watch that. You need to rethink your thinking and keep practicing those good and better habits for yourself and your family. So now that we got those PSAs out of the way, let's get into the fun little story time I have for y'all. All right, I kind of want to set the scene here, okay? So here's our setting, or our scene, I should say. We walk into a magical land. There's castles, there's cyclops, there's orcs, there's, I just call them orcs. I meant to say ogres. There's ogres, there's gnomes, there's leprechauns, there's fairies, there's mermaids, there's dragons, there's werewolves, there's centaurs, right? All of these magical, awesome beings. The sky is big and blue with beautiful light showers at night. This land, in reality, how I want you to view it, it's our financial world. This big magical land in the setting I'm setting up for y'all, this is our financial world. We have big, bright, sunny days, like how you can see here where I'm at in Arizona right now. Big, the sun is right there in the sky right there. but sometimes we have rainy downpour days. So this is our financial world. The different creatures that I'm mentioning here, these are the financial instruments and traditional financial advice that we're given. So in this magical land, we're faced with threats such as dragons. Dragons are market volatility. Storms, which is our economic downturns. And thieves, like inflation, government, laws. So we have a hero in the story, or you can maybe even call him our knight. And our knight must make his way through this magical land to prosperity on the other side of the region. So let's get into chapter one here. Chapter one is the quest for stability. So, as I mentioned, we have our hero. Our hero, or our knight, is aka the policy holder. You are the one who is the owner of that IBC policy. And he's got to have a shield. He's got to have some protection. And that's the infinite banking policy. And this shield, right? Why do we use this shield? Well, it's because I have this guaranteed cash growth. And I have this guaranteed cash accumulation, also with this guaranteed death benefit that's going to come from this policy as well. So this shield is really like a magical shield around me where I cannot be touched by anything, no dragons, No werewolves, no gnomes or fairies that want to trick me or something, right? So this shield is really protecting me against what is out there and other noise that I'm hearing out there in the financial world. But then we got to have our weapon, okay? And our weapon is our sword. This sword is how I want y'all to picture it. It's our policy loans. And what we must do with this sword or this tool is that we must use the sword to go out and dig for our buried treasure or go and slay these dragons that we have. So with this, we also got to have a map that we got to follow. And there's this special map that is guiding our hero in the story. You know what the map is? The map is the money multiplier map and tools that are created for all of you policy holders. So follow this map and really closely identify it and keep updating it as time goes on. So our mission is we got to slay this dragon. Slaying the dragon means we are slaying market losses or volatility. It's protection from loss. We are now protecting and closing that gap for ourselves in our financial life. So we're setting out on this quest for stability. We got all of these tools. Now let's go and hunt for this hidden treasure. So here's chapter two. Chapter two is the treasure of growth. So our hero now, he must use this map to lead him to these hidden treasures. These hidden treasures, they're investment opportunities. They are expenses or products and services that we're going to be buying in our life. And we're accessing these hidden treasures through our policy loans, through the sword. We got to use that sword to go out and slay the dragon and open up this hidden treasure chest. So what our hero does is he sets forth on this mission. He follows the map that leads him there. And now he's got to use the sword to open up the loans in the policy, right? And I know I'm kind of blending this, but I kind of wanted to make this fun and I kind of want y'all to see where I'm going with this. Now, I'll be honest, I mean, I never really was like a big like Harry Potter buff or anything like that. But I hope some of my people out there who are into that stuff, this is really intriguing you. So what our hero must do is he's got to use this sword, the policy loans, to cut through barriers, aka access to capital, and unlock the treasures without waking up the dragon who is protecting the treasures. So what he's doing now is he's using this sword where he's got the access to the capital, the access to the liquidity to open up now these treasures of where he can go and put those dollars to work. So now he's got these tax advantages and now he's got liquidity within his financial life that nobody can tell him what he can do. He is his own hero. He is setting out on his own journey for himself, and he should have the right, the freedom, the liberty, the justice to do whatever he pleases for himself. So with this, I want y'all to start taking your policy loans, and don't be afraid to go out there and start using some of the capital for the things that you're buying in life. Our taxes, charitable giving, maybe we have a wedding coming up for our son, daughter-in-law, or whatever. Maybe we want to go on vacation. Maybe y'all want to buy yourself a conversion van like you see right here behind me today. So with all of these, you have the sword, that magical tool to be able to go out and purchase this. Let's walk into chapter three. Chapter three is we must master the elements. So as we go off into a little side quest here, the hero meets an ally. And you know what the allies are? They're the money multiplier mentors and his community who are set on the same quest with him, who teach the art of controlling the elements and controlling his own self, his own ego, and comparing it to other traditional warriors that you might meet out there on your adventure. So what he's doing now is he's got to control these elements, managing the risk and the rewards, and not comparing it to these conventional wisdom investment philosophies that you see out there. I mean, the biggest one that comes to my head, and I'm just going to be very blunt with y'all, is the whole message of Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, right? I mean, I'm not bashing them. I think they're very, very good at teaching people how to budget, bringing people back to zero, how to live below the means. You know, even though you may have checks on your counter, doesn't mean that you got money sitting in the bank, right? So we got to understand that some of these folks that are out there, yeah, they can have great ideas and great wisdom, but we don't got to follow every single thing that they're saying and what they're teaching. Because no offense, Dave Ramsey, but I think you're really great at bringing people back to zero. But like, now what? Now what should I do with my money once I'm back to zero? You want me to keep maxing out my 401k where it's in that volatile market environment? I mean, you know what Chris Noggle likes to say? He always says that, you know, Dave kind of gets people back to zero, and it's almost like you're a bird in this cage. And so you walk into this cage, you're this little hurt bird, and you got this hurt wing on you, and he takes you in, and he caters to you, and he really soothes that wing, and he tries to put some bandages on it to make it heal and get better. And it does. But now that my wing is back to normal and I can fly again, I can't escape this cage. And that's what I want y'all to do. I don't want you to be sucked into this cage and this total tunnel vision of there's only one right way to do everything. You don't need to be thinking like that. So I want y'all to understand the flexibility and the power that you have with this sword and this shield that you have within your financial tool belt and inside of your pocket, because it's unlike any other vehicle that's out there on this planet. So really master the elements and master, I would say, just even the mindset. To take it back to my PSA, I mean, we got to rethink our thinking and always keep working on those new habits that you are setting in place for yourself and your family. Let's get in here to chapter 4. Chapter 4, the hero trials. So, you know, there's going to be challenges. You know, we're going to have the windfalls, we're going to have the downfalls in life. And our hero, he may face element risk. Like maybe he's got to cross a big mountain ridge, or maybe a desert. He's got to go through a big waterfall. So it's all we got to do with this is that when tough times happen, because they will happen. I mean, it's life, y'all. We got the windfalls, we got the downfalls. We're going to have upswings, we're going to have downswings. But it's important to understand that when you have this cash flow management tool, navigating these environments is going to be so much easier, because you are now in control of that environment rather than leaving it up to somebody else who may not have the best interests at heart. I mean, I've always said this too, like I've even made TikToks and reels about this, but I just have a firm belief that if you are not the one managing your money and your financial life, that's most of the time when you start to lose the money. And so you got to be the one who's in control of it, and you decide what risks that you want to take with this and implementing this strategy and where you're placing your investment dollars at. All right, chapter 5. Chapter 5, the Academy of Infinite Banking. Educating aspiring investors, we should say. So now that the hero, or now he's a master, he's not even a hero anymore. Well, I don't really like saying that. He's still a hero, but now he's a master in that essence, because when he first set out on his journey, this was something new. He didn't really know what to expect. He had his map that he was going to follow, but there could be some sideways hits or turns or big storms that come about and blow all of his food, his supplies, his water, maybe his horse runs away, right? So now that he's a master and he's gone through these upswings and downswings, now he's able to share the power of these secrets with his others. So our hero is going to keep having these ongoing meetings with his community and his mentor, and these maps that he has are always going to keep getting updated as the terrain really falls and how it moves through our life. So with these environmental changes, we got to stay present, because if you know what's going on, you'll know what to do. I got that quote actually from Nelson Nash, so shout out to Nelson there. But I think this is so important, why communities are just so important within our lifetime. I mean, I even just shared at the beginning of this episode, I'm meeting all of my women out in Carlsbad for our semi-annual retreat of our women's mastermind. And we do this just because we're mastering the idea of life and how we can really live a fulfilled life that's not just within inside of our business. It's just in all areas of our life. So keep together. You guys got a community here, and I want you to stay around the campfire, keep learning from each other, because you really don't know what you don't know. So just listen in. You don't got to take everybody's advice. Just like how I said, you don't got to take everybody's advice and start practicing and implementing it. You can just hear people. Just hear people out. Just listen. And what doesn't serve you, throw it to the side. Take what serves you, and what doesn't, get rid of it. That's all I want you to do. So now we're on the other side of the region. We're in this new era of financial wisdom. And when you truly come financially free, the opportunities will find you. I'm telling y'all. I mean, even in my own personal life, I didn't really understand it till here recently. And it was my dad who actually told me that. He was like, you know, it's kind of funny. When you start to become financially free, all of these opportunities really start to find you. And you really start to know what to do now moving forward. There was actually even like this video that I was listening to where somebody was saying, you know, it's really hard to make the first 100,000. But then once you make that 100,000, it gets a little bit easier to then make the 500,000. Then from the 500,000, it gets even easier to make the 1,000,000. Then from that 1,000,000, you start to make another 1,000,000. And I get it, because now you've got these tools behind you and the education and the experience that you know what to do and what's working and what's not now. So when you really start to become financially free, all of these opportunities just flock to you, and it's like madness. You know, there's so much things and money out there in the world, and we just got to understand how to master the tools of this money. So right now, especially at the time of this recording, you know, we're still here in quarter one of 2024. I think we're going to see some huge losses, a lot of slums, a lot of hits. And I don't know if I want to go this deep into it, but we can honestly thank our current political leaders for some of the shitstorm that's happening right now. Oops, my bad. Did I say that? So we got to start understanding and start protecting ourselves from things that we cannot control. I can only control what I can control. And if I know that I can control where I'm keeping my hard-earned dollars and money at, I mean, I'm gonna do it. So I hope this little story time was helpful, kind of put it into a different perspective of why we're using these policies, how we're using them. Because at the end of the day, everybody's got to practice banking in their life. You finance every single transaction that you buy. You either give up the interest you could have earned on the money, aka paying cash for things, or you give that interest out the door to other people. Banks, financial institutions, others, government, etc. So this concept is really about controlling the environment and closing that gap and keeping the wealth and the dollars within the family. So now you are the one building your financial empire and financial castle for yourself. So one last thing I want to leave y'all with too, right before I go, is actually I had some good conversations this week with some home office officials, because I mentioned it on my last episode, just FYI, save the date, y'all. May 9th to the 11th, I'm going to be hosting our 3-day live Money Multiplier Mastermind again. I know some of y'all came out in 2022. So 2024, we're going to be having the 3-day live mastermind. It's going to be held in Nashville, Tennessee this year. And I actually have somebody from the home office coming out and doing a really, really cool and good presentation for us. His name is Clay Summers. Some of y'all know Clay Summers. He's been with this home office for going on 41 years now. He's just brilliant. He knows everything from the ground up. And so I have him coming out and doing really cool presentations for y'all, talking about guarantees, the differences between the IULs, the whole lives, and why we want the guarantees and why we just feel safer keeping our wealth with these mutually owned companies that have been around since the late 1800s, early 1900s. I mean, I've just even been having conversations with people that, you know, folks are asking me, well, Hannah, well, what's going to happen to these insurance companies if we go to digital currency, or maybe these insurance companies go belly up? And it's just like, oh my goodness, y'all, you guys are not getting the message and you're not doing your own due diligence and research. I know you're asking me because you are viewing me as your expert here, and I appreciate that, but also go out and go do your own research. I mean, if you've been following me almost 100 plus episodes now, you know where the resources and the tools lie. The whole reason of why I just feel so trusting with these carriers is because they have sustained the test of time. They are following and respecting their capital in those Austrian economic mindsets that during the times of financial dumpster fire flames, they were still here holding out and still paying out dividends to their policyholders. Why are they doing that? Are they stupid, or are they probably doing something that is better than what the traditional financial advisors or other vehicles or the markets or government is telling us what to do? So stop listening to the noise and really think for yourself in question here. So, all right, I think that's all my thoughts for today's episode. So I really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hopefully that was helpful, and wish me luck. Hopefully by next week I'll be feeling a little bit better and I won't be sounding so congested coming through your audio speakers or your YouTube screen right now. But anyways, Daisy and I, we're going to be heading off here in just a little bit, going west still. I'll be back home in about a month, all right? So I'm excited, and we got a lot of cool events and just different things going on this year. It's going to be a really, really good year. So I'm proud of y'all. If you got questions, you know where to find me. Send me an email, shoot me a text message, leave a comment on the YouTube channel, and I'll be here to help answer them. Until next time, I'll see y'all then. Bye, y'all.